Hi, everybody. I'm Trisha. I'm an addict and alcoholic. I'll first start with my sobriety date is May 5th, 2010. I first came into the rooms of recovery like everybody else does, broken, you know, didn't know if it was going to work for me. And I want to start off what it was like and where I am today. I have a brother and a sister, and my brother was also an addict. My sister is what we call a normie. But for me, I don't remember too much of my childhood, and I keep trying to remember bits and pieces of it, but I can't remember anything about my childhood. I do remember my dad was an alcoholic. He would come home if he came home. He'd be gone for 2 or 3 days or whatever. But he left when I was 12, and that was really devastating for me because I enjoyed Dad being around. And then when he left, you know, I had to help my mom with my brother and sister because she worked a number of jobs. So I stayed home and helped her with the housework and take care of my brother and sister. My alcoholic, I didn't know I was an alcoholic, as we all don't know we're alcoholics until we take that first drink. I took it when I was probably about age 13. My cousins were older. I had aunts that were probably around the same age as I was. You know, and I would spend a lot of time at my grandparents' house on the weekends, and that's when I began smoking pot, drinking, and then come back to my grandmother's house and eat up all her food and then go to sleep. You know, and then we moved to Pennsylvania from Massachusetts, and that was devastating. It was also another devastating part of my life because I left all my family, and I was moving to a place where I knew nobody. But as time, you know, so I was just eager to meet people, you know, so that I'd have something to do. Well, then I met my soon-to-be kid's father, which in the beginning was, you know, that we couldn't stand to be apart from each other. And then after I had the kids is when the abuse started. He raped me, beat me, and so I had the sexual, the mental, and the abuse. And then when I finally left and moved with my mom, she let me, you know, she told me that I could go out if the kids were sleeping. So I'd make sure they were in bed at 8 o'clock and be out by 9 o'clock. And I did that for a few months until, you know, she got tired of it. And then I got my own place, and then I started using drugs, and, you know, and then I hid it from everybody, like most of us did. And then, you know, when I first came into recovery, I wasn't willing. I didn't have the willingness to stay clean. I was doing it for all the wrong reasons. I was doing it for my husband at the time, for my kids, for my family, and it didn't work. I went to treatment after everybody found out what I was doing, and went to Fort Lauderdale, and to me that was like a summer vacation, because I got to lay by the beach, got to go by the pool, and I really wasn't paying attention to what I needed to hear. Then I went home and went, the day I got home, I went to the bar, and I was okay with sitting at the bar for a few weeks, and then I told myself, oh, I'm gonna have a drink today. And then I ended up taking a drink, and then, you know, what comes next. And then I ended up going back to treatment, going back to Fort Lauderdale for another summer vacation. And then, you know, I came home and I lasted 90 days. And when I went out that time, I lost everything. My mom wouldn't talk to me, my kids wouldn't talk to me, my husband left me. I had nothing. And, well, I was in the hospital because I overdosed. And I never thought in a million years that that could happen to me, but it did. And when I was in the hospital, I had a spiritual awakening. I had a lady come in my room. And, you know, told me, I'm lucky to be here. And so, you know, when I have my rough days and I play that tape all the way through, I think that if I go back out there today with having almost 3 years clean, I ain't coming back, you know. And I have so much to live for today, you know, and I just, you know, I have a lot of commitments that I do. I go to detox. I go to Maida House. I do chips and lip for area. I mean, and the list goes on and on, because when I first got clean, I started in Green Bay. I was the secretary to a meeting, and I did that for the whole year that I was there. And I strongly think service work is what helped me stay clean. And the fear of knowing that if I do go back out there, what it's going to end up happening. And you know, it's just, you know, amazing. I mean, I know, I'm sorry, Maida House, I'm sure you've probably heard this many times, but I'm going to say it again. I had, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, but I had a van that got me, that was running crappy the day before I was moving to Milwaukee. The day I moved to Milwaukee, it was running like a charm, and it got me to Milwaukee. That car, I don't know how I got to point A to point B because of the fumes and everything, and I prayed and prayed and prayed that I would get a new car. And then I seen a commercial on the TV, called it, and then a week later I had my new car. I mean, and it, this is just, you know, and I don't mean to give all the, you know, because it doesn't happen to everybody. Because when I first came into this program, I wanted everything and I wanted it now, because everybody had the houses, everybody had the nice cars, and I wanted it all. But I had to wait. I had to work my steps. I had to get honest with myself, and I had to, you know, to be honest to everybody. And to this day, since I've been clean, I haven't talked to my brother, maybe a couple times, but I'm working on that today. My father, he calls, or I call him whenever I think, you know, but I don't let it get in the midst of my recovery, because this is the only thing I have. Without this, I don't have anything. You know, and, you know, my mom just went through breast cancer and is now a survivor of breast cancer. And I was able to be sober through that whole thing. And I remember when she was in the hospital a couple times, I'd be going up there high when she was dealing with her heart, you know. And it's, and I don't want to be that person today. You know, I want to be that, the daughter that she can run to when she needs to go here or go there, you know. And I do that today. I work, but, you know, she knows that I job, then, you know. But I can, you know, I enjoy every day. I mean, I know I have my bad days, and we all do. It's a part of living life on life's terms. You know, I couldn't understand why everything bad kept happening to me. You know, I would always, why does it always have to happen to me? And it wasn't always just happening to me. It happened to all of us, you know, and we have to realize that it's life on life's terms, and we can't expect the best at all times. And I don't know what else to say, so with that, I'm gonna pass.
Thanks, Trisha.